morning, councillors. Welcome to the Exbank Town Council Council meeting on Tuesday the 3rd of April 2018 at 7:33. Sorry we're a bit late, but these things happen. I'd like to welcome this evening Andy Fairbrine, who's come to give us a short talk during the course of the evening. I'd like, with your permission, to move that item 12 up to follow item 5. You're in agreement? Thank you very much. I'd also like to welcome Alex Sadiq as a new member of our council. Welcome. Alex is representing Town Ward, and also to Tim Lemper, who was successful in being elected to East Devon District Council. Can I take apologies for us?
I've got apologies from Councillor Christine Chan. Obviously, she's not a town councillor, but she sent her apologies for noting. That's all I've got currently.
Daryl Nicholas.
Daryl?
Yeah, please open the vote.
Any others?
Okay. We have no public speaking tonight. So we go straight on to council minutes. The minutes of the meeting held on the 5th of February 2018. You have these with your bundles. Could I have a proposal, please? Thank you very much, Mark. Second, Steve. Those in favour? Thank you very much. Matters arising for the council minutes. This is for information only. Declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensations. Members to declare any interest they may have on the agenda and agree any dispensations to stay. Do we have any declarations? Yes.
I see there's something on the agenda for the Egg Sailing Club. I'm a member of the Sailing Club.
Right, thank you. Anyone else? I'd like to register my interest at Egg Sailing Club as well.
Okay.
To resolve that the press and public be excluded from the meeting during the consideration of items in part 2 of the agenda, as it involves the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in part 1, schedule 12A of the Local Government Act 1972. That will be taken at the end of the first meeting. I'd now like to introduce Andy Fairbank and invite him to speak, please.
I just wanted to introduce Andy because he did a tremendous lot of work during the snow with his 4x4 team, and we as a council are trying to form a community resilience task and finish forum or whatever you want to call it, but there are certain gaps, and I'm sure that Andy will fill them in because of his experience over the last twice, and sometimes he's worked up to 48 hours non-stop ferrying people around. So I hand over to Andy, who will tell us of his experience and what it was like.
Well, thank you, Pauline. Yeah, well, thank you for inviting me. I must come and speak to you all about the experience, which was different to say the least. So I think the thing that struck me, the thing that struck a lot of people that turned out in the end, was the lack of joined up, cohesive council responses, not just by Devon County, East Devon, but all by everybody. Everyone's doing their own thing. And Exeter especially was particularly bad. Torbay, much better. Torbay really had it much, much better on the resources they could call upon from members of the public. But the big thing that really shone out was how other parts of Devon just really didn't cope. And that was for 2 days. You know, that was 2 days. It could have gone a lot worse. Realistically, day 3, the temperature rose and it melted, and everyone went back to normal and forgot it even happened. Apart from never knowing bread and milk in the shop, but the speed of it is, despite the Met Office warnings, the Met Office can say what they want, the public are so curious they're going to come out anyway. You know, I closed my business down at 12 o'clock, sent my staff home, hadn't done that, we wouldn't got home. because then I struggled to get home at 2 o'clock from Exeter because the dual carriageway from Cliffs was completely blocked because it had come down so fast and it was so cold it was going to run on impact. So realistically, unless you had a 4x4, you weren't getting home, and that was what formed part of the problem. The secondary problem was the blocking of the routes. Once the A376 was blocked, that was it. No one could get in or out of Exeter either. So that was another problem that was created. It was because the sheer amount of abandoned cars, even coaches, were blocking the road. So we started probably, I think, probably about 7 o'clock on that first evening. Myself, probably about 10 others, to the Sadler's Arms on the A376 and started pulling cars up the hill and out of the way, just so we could create a route in and out of Exeter. Just the basics, start the basics. Once we'd done that, a couple of ambulances wanted to get out, so they could. After that point, it was more of a case of clearing people down at Horbury Common. People were walking off Horbury Common in the pitch black to get hit by cars because they abandoned their cars and were walking with children in the road from the Port First car park. So realistically, unless you had a 4x4, you weren't going anywhere. You weren't going home. There was numerous other people involved. It wasn't just me, there were lots of other people involved that really put themselves out time and time again. And like I say, the first night it was all about recovering people and getting them home. The second day, what I sort of looked at as a phase two sort of approach, was getting emergency services into work. Because the problem that the RD&E has is they don't have, again, a joined up cohesive approach. I'm sure they've probably got it on paper somewhere. Whether they know how to implement it or not is another matter. Because what it ended up with was one gentleman sat on reception desk answering the phone and just ringing around trying to see if you could find anyone in a 4x4. Well, if that's a major NHS's trust idea of emergency planning, it's pretty poor, really. Whereas Tor Bay, you have your forms filled in, you have insurance checks, photo ID, before you even go on their list. There's none of that for Exeter. Nothing. It's just, have you got a car? Yeah, cool, let's go here. You know, and that's pretty much it, one person on a phone. But it also brings that back to Exmouth, in reality, is what did we do as a town? Because again, Exmouth is probably one of the worst here. Out of all the villages and towns in East Devon, it's probably one of the worst. You know, some of the roads we've got in Exmouth, you have no chance. There was no chance of driving up any of them. I went up to Brittington to pick up a lady who broke her arm. Ambulance couldn't get to Brittington. No chance. Couldn't get up there. Even with snow chains on their ambulance, they couldn't get up Churchill Road. So they gave up. So we even picked her up in the end and took her arm in. But realistically, if that snow had gone any longer than the 2 days, where would we be? Because we quickly saw our infrastructure fall apart. And what's the response of the council, I suppose, is the question, isn't it? Isn't what the council do in that circumstance? You know, who's priority, who's not priority? Because there were so many people, some, of course, as for everything, trying it on, I suppose. But then there was a lot of NHS workers that live in Exeter that need to go to Exeter, changeover time, 8 o'clock, RD&E, I'll never forget what time their changeover is now. So 8 o'clock at night, every night, you've got hundreds and hundreds of staff that need to get home, and there's a changeover. But again, a lot were coming back to Exeter. Private care, you know, we are a seaside town, we've got lots of nursing homes. Private care started to fall apart as well. You know, despite the fact that they pay very well, private care companies, I'm sure, but their staff couldn't get to work either. So again, there was this big knock-on effect over the day two and slightly into day three, but more so day two. I mean, on day two, I did, well, in the 2 days, I did 300 miles, I think, from recall, picked up 20 odd nurses, 3 or 4 surgeons, paramedics, even 2 police officers couldn't get to work. They were stuck in their own car. So it affects everybody. You know, it doesn't take much for the whole mechanism to grind to a halt. And what was really surprising was that, like I say, it was more of the lack of joined up effort between district and county council, really. Devon County, even their computer went down, didn't have a clue who was supposed to go for dialysis. I got a phone call from a local taxi company, could you go and pick one of us up to pick up this gentleman from Budley? He hasn't been for his renal treatment in 3 days, and no one's forgot about him. Well, if anyone forgot about him, he's dead. That's the reality. Because Devon County had no clue he existed. It's only the taxi company that remembered that they pick him up every 2 days that were ringing around trying to go to his house to check he's all right. Everyone else forgot about it. Yeah. And when they rang Devon County, they said, well, if you think he needs to go and see if you can get to him. And that was the exact response. So I took the taxi driver in my car, picked him up, took him to Holland, dropped him off for 2.5 hours, picked him up later. But when we got to, we were virtually yellow. But he'd been forgotten about. All because of a bit of snow. In reality. But yeah, it wasn't just me. There's lots of other people out there. Lots and lots and lots of other people. Some that can't afford to do it, I'm one of them. Some that couldn't. You know, you can see from some of them, you're thinking, this has cost me a lot of diesel. You know, you can really see. And some of them damaged their cars as well. You know, some of their cars have damaged in the process. Yeah.
Thank you, Andy. And I think, you know, you and your colleagues and all those people that did volunteer, you know, ought to be publicly thanked for the efforts that they put into this opportunity to help people in crisis at the time of the snow. I know what it's like. I only thought before I also put myself available to intensive care nurses.
Yeah.
That should they needed to be transported, I would have done it, but unfortunately they didn't. What I would say to you though is, I think you've hit the nail on the head because you've identified that lots of different areas do it in different ways. I myself have been involved with emergency services for 20 years as a career, and have been involved in coordinating coastguard rescue vehicles in Scotland and various other places in the UK. So I'm familiar with what you're talking about, and I'm familiar with what you actually did. I think we need to, as a town, perhaps look at the cohesiveness of this, because it's not just trying to help someone off your own back or your own 44. I think it needs a little bit tightening up, should this sort of weather happen again. Hopefully it won't, but it doesn't necessarily have to be just snow. It could be flooding, it could be all sorts of things.
Exactly.
And I think there's an opportunity to perhaps maybe pull a group of people together to look at it in a more cohesive way, because as you rightly said, it involves insurance, because if you start transporting people in your other car, not necessarily for hire and ward, but you have to have business class insurance, I have on my car, so. But lots of people, if they haven't and something befell them, they would be out of pocket.
Yeah, the majority probably didn't, in reality.
So there may be an opportunity here to perhaps, you know, utilise your skills and perhaps some other people that have got those sort of skills to sort of perhaps bring something forward to the party, set something up that could sit quietly in the background. If the emergency occurs, then it can be put into place.
Yeah, I just think it needs to be an emergency planning and contingency, you know, document. That's what needs to happen, and that's updated every 3 months, whether that be by email, the people that are registered on it, or in any other way. But, you know, former police officer, you know, again, I'm quite used to it, but you can see people work, you know, and some of them were doing some really silly things, and it was more luck than judgment someone to get hurt.
Absolutely. Well, there is a very good software package out there.
Yeah.
Will alert people on smartphones instantly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I think, you know, there's an opportunity, and I'd be quite happy to talk with you a bit further about this.
And we certainly weren't short of volunteers, you know, that was for sure. There's plenty of people, and that was probably a good thing to see as well. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, there's a lot going on in Exworth, and everyone's got their own party politics and whatever else, but realistically, that was put to one side on a very big scale. You know, there was a lot of people out helping other people, and that was probably the best thing to see. Actually, you know what? Everyone might moan, everyone might have a whinge, but when it really goes wrong, to be fair, this town really did stand together very well.
And that's the bottom line.
Yeah, and it did work, and people really did come out in their numbers, and it was quite nice to see.
Well, if there's anything I can do to offer to help.
Yeah, that will be.
Thank you very much. Brian Toy, please.
Is that working? Yeah. I just wonder, we're normally looking at the town getting cut off through snow and floods, but there could be other reasons why we get cut off, major traffic accidents, earthquakes, terrorist acts of terrorism. So is there, we have to look possibly at other routes. There is one route that's been available for centuries, it's called the River Exe. Are there any contingency plans for moving strategic supplies down the River Exe? The other question is there a possible route that could be identified over land that a 4x4 vehicle could use to get from Exeter to Exmouth? Have these possibilities been looked at at all?
In any sort of emergency planning contingency plan, you're going to look at everything, you're going to look at scale of probability, what's the most likely, what's the most probable, and you plan for that. You've got to plan for everything, don't get me wrong, but realistically, you need to plan for most likely and what resources you need to implement it and achieve it. You know, that's what every plan should be, the basic core structure of, is how's that going to work? X happens, what does Y do? And who tells Y or how to do it? Because what you'll also find is in any major incident, as soon as a major incident is cared by the police, they're likely to fix it, cost money as soon as you say that word. But if a major incident is declared by the police, they take control of the situation anyway. So you have gold command, bronze and silver, you know, and realistically that's where it will run from. It will run from Middlemore. Yes, they will, part of the emergency planning, contingency plan would be to have contact with the gold commander, because realistically they know who their people are on the ground in certain geographical areas. And if you do have a plan in place, then a copy of that will be held by Devon Call Police anyway. But it's a good point, you know, I mean, there's plenty of scenarios out there, you never say no.
Steve?
Thank you, Chair. Well, firstly, Andy, I'm sure that this Town Council are extremely grateful to you and all your colleagues. I watched what you were doing on social media, and it was amazing to follow. The story on social media, and one thing that you mentioned was about funding, and I think a lot of people don't realise that a lot of you pay for the fuel yourselves.
Yeah, I think
all do much, it's not cheap, but I know you're saying that's not the point, but that's another issue that comes into the equation. I mean, to see the statistics that you put out one day about the number of people that you actually picked up, NHS staff, like Fred, I used to work in the ambulance service 20 years, and we got staff, and we had a call out 4x4s. And as you rightly said, ambulances got stuck in the top of Marble Hill and Brixenden.
Yeah.
But I think what is quite clear, and we've talked about it for a while, is that you have highlighted now that there is a need where we need to get you and your group involved in our, for a better word, our resilience plan, it might be called something else. And I think we have to move forward with that, looking at our town clock, fairly swiftly, because, all right, we had the second time I went into my garden, we had 9.5 inches of snow in my back garden, and I haven't seen snow like that since I was a kid, since we had all that snow earlier on. So we don't know what the weather is going to hold for the future. We've been told that things are going to get worse. So we need to be proactive rather than reactive at the time. So I'm hoping that we soon get ready and sort our plan out and get you involved. And once again, please take back our thanks to you and your colleagues. It's very much appreciated.
Can I just say that the Flooding and Land Drainage Working Party have had an aspiration to look at community resilience for some time, and we've had the offer of help from the Environment Agency and the Devon Community Resilience Partnership as well. We just haven't had the capacity, really. Chetna's also got some experience of looking at community planning for Hollinton Town Council, so it's certainly something that's on our list, and hopefully we'll be able to pick it up quite quickly. I'm not sure when the next Flooding and Land Drainage Working Party
next
is.
Week.
Is there? Okay. So maybe we could revisit it then, and get a team together that could take it forward.
Lynn, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I was just going to say that obviously most people here know I work for hospice care, and we obviously had to get all our hospice care at home nurses, and I'm lucky enough to have 3 4-wheel drive drivers on our books, volunteer drivers. We had to obviously get more because of the hospice care at home, which they had to go irrespective of weather. But all I was going to say was that they don't necessarily need business insurance if they're volunteers, or if their insurance company knows. But the other thing I was going to say, what we did do, and it's something that you have to think about, you've mentioned cost. Yes, some of our drivers can easily afford to pay for that petrol, but others can't. Mm-hmm. But you can claim up to 45p a mile, which is what we pay our volunteers that can't. And I think that has to be taken into account, because not everybody can afford the fuel. Not everybody can afford the use of their car.
No, I mean, the
one thing we were able to do with our volunteers is obviously, yes, some extras came forward and said, yeah, we'll help.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly at the hospice, there had a lot of people come forward to help. But it did mean that we didn't have that opportunity for those that wanted to come forward but may not be in a position to be able to afford the fuel, but we really needed their help.
Yeah, I think that would probably look again at going in the plan itself, really, because then really if you put a budget aside of what is it going to cost, you know, you can start to forward think and forward plan and then budget for that. To look at, okay, well, if we're going to have volunteers, here's what we offer volunteers from a claims perspective, and here's the claims process, how the claim expenses.
Christine, please.
Yeah, thank you. I think to a certain extent, Lisa's answered part of my question. I think I was going to ask, you know, what is the responsibility of the town council in that sort of scenario? I'm aware that at county level, there is certainly, for want of a better word, disaster planning in a variety of different guises, including the coordination of the rest centres that happen on the top of Holton Hill and other places. What I was going to say is, I think maybe is there something that says, as a town, we should be part and parcel of the whatever planning exists.
Absolutely.
At that level, in ensuring that our needs are being met within that plan.
So
because
we have
where are the resources that would enable that to be coordinated and to help, you know, more effectively?
So in 2016, I think, we had quite a lot of contact with one of the officers from Devon County Council that's involved with the emergency plan at county level. And he shared with us the emergency blue light plan that they have in place, and we were asked to comment on the identification of refuge centres in Exmouth and things like that. And then what he asked us to do was to look at building community resilience that was more based on sort of neighbourliness, really, which is the sort of thing that you're talking about, looking out for your neighbours, so that we don't step on anybody's toes in terms of what they have to provide at a statutory level, but we can add a different layer underneath, and that's what we were asked to focus on. So I think that's where we should focus. Yeah.
On that same point, we received an email this afternoon by sheer coincidence. I bumped into Richard Scott. We were both out doing our best, purely from a community spirit point of view, to try and help motorists stuck at Edford. Richard himself had left his car to help others. It was snowing heavily and very cold. I was out there for around 3 hours, and Richard was still going when I left. He was trying to get a road clearance help from the marine camp. He and I pushed cars, tried to direct traffic, keep the road clear, etc. I know he didn't do it for any public praise, but I want the town to make the town council aware of his wonderful efforts. I'm sure he'll say it was nothing, but it was cold, thankless, and he put the needs of others before his own. After all, he also had to get to Exmouth at some point. I don't know how you could raise this within the council, but he deserves a thank you on behalf of all those he helped today, many of whom didn't realise he was just volunteering out of a pure desire to help. Thanks, Jeff Bowen. Wanted to bring that one in. Alex?
Yeah, I was just going to firstly say thank you as someone who ignored the advice and ended up stranded at Chris and Mary on the day in question. It very grateful that someone gave me a lift home. I think that's one point as well in terms of our responsibility. Why did people not necessarily follow advice? I didn't believe it would happen. There were so many conflicting reports. Who could I trust? So I think that would be one aspect that I think we should consider. My other point was, you mentioned that Torbay is an example of somewhere that does this well. I was just going to say, have you got contacts there that could provide the...
So Torbay's response from an NHS perspective is a lot better than Exeter's. There's no doubt about that. You know, they run it like a taxi service. They know where their drivers are, who they're going to pick up, and then you call the number back when you're free and they often issue another job. It's much better coordinated. It's got a much better response from a strategic level, to be honest. It's very much run as a proper control room should be. Whereas Exeter, like I say, fortunately kind of spent bar and there's a bit of hit and hope really from that perspective.
Right, thank you very much indeed, Andy.
Can I
Pauline?
The biggest fear that I have is not for the ones on social media, it is for the people that weren't on social media. The ones on social media, they were lucky. They could actually contact Andy or anybody else that was on social media at a 4x4. Those people that aren't on social media or haven't got a smartphone or anything else, they're mostly the elderly people. And they were the people that really they didn't know anywhere to phone because they only use like a mini phone, telephone. And I think we need somewhere where there is a central point where people that aren't on social media can actually phone and to get an either a list of numbers or something, because I think that is vital, because that poor chap with the dialysis, he was at home, he probably had a phone, wouldn't have known where to phone, and there must be hundreds like him in Exmoor. Let's face it, we're the biggest town in Devon, so there must be loads of people out there that perhaps have got cancer treatment, lots of treatments which they actually missed. Now, if you go back to 1978, when the snow was on the ground then, the snow lasted for nearly 2 weeks, and everything was closed down. And if you go back even further, back to 1947, it went on for a month. Now, we don't know what the weather's going to be like in the future. Nobody knows what it's going to be like. And so I think this is vitally important, because we've just had it brought to the forefront of what has actually happened in just 2 days. But what would happen if it went on for a week or more? You know, how many people would die because they had nowhere to phone and nowhere to get a contact of somebody to actually take them to someone? Now, I never put the Marine camp. I don't know what the Marines did. They went out to me and didn't help.
So they were on leave, unfortunately.
No, they were on leave. Yeah. I mean, they're usually fairly good.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we do need, and even the Marines would probably need them on board as well.
Yeah.
You know, because I think it's good.
Thank you, Jeremy. I think listening to everything that everyone has said, and Andy and the volunteers, what a fabulous job they do, and Richard, I would like to recommend that this council perhaps sets up a working party, and we all look at what different groups we can pull in, and then discuss with everyone, and then perhaps get a coffee from other councils of what they're doing, because we tried to do this a few years ago, about 4 years ago, and we were waiting for someone from this council or someone from that council. I think what we need to do is to sit round and decide for ourselves what we need, how we need to go forward, who we need to bring in, Andy, the rest of the volunteers, use the media, bring everyone in together and do our own plans, because we've spent 4 years waiting for, you know, different departments from different councils to contact us, to give us advice on how to set it up. I think we're just going to have to crack on and do it ourselves and set up a working party and thrash it out that way.
Is that a proposal, Maddie?
That most certainly is.
Could we have a second proposal? Seconded. Those in favour? That is carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Who would like to serve on that committee, on that working party?
Shall I put some terms of reference together
first? Yes.
Yes. Then we can decide who wants to be involved.
Okay, time clerk, put the terms of reference together then, and then we'll get a working party.
I'll also, I'll get hold of a copy from Devon County Council, and then I can circulate that at the same time.
Right, thank you very much, Andy. If you want to go, rather sit here. Thank you very much for your input.
That'd be interesting.
Item 6 on the agenda. Item 6 on the agenda. To see the citizen report.
This is a healthy set.
To receive and consider reports and minutes of committees, working parties, other local bodies, and town clerk, deputy town clerk as appropriate. Planning committee, agenda, please.
Chairman, first acceptance of the minutes of the meeting held on the 5th of February, 19th of February, and 5th of March 2018. The recommendations therein. We have no recommendations. I say move.
Thank you very much. Second, please.
Yep.
Thank you. All in favour? Thank you very much. Finance committee, Cherry, please.
We receive the minutes of the meeting held on the 15th of February 2018 and consider any recommendations therein to be as a separate finance agenda.
Seconded, thank you very much. Those in favour? Oh, you want to speak? Sorry.
Just to say, please, I'm sorry to address it this moment. Have you been able to look at that sponsorship email that I gave you about the...
No, I will follow it up, Bruce. I haven't had time yet.
Thank you.
All those in favour? Thank you very much. Town clerk's report, which has been forwarded. Do you wish to add anything, Lisa?
Just want to highlight that attached to that report was an email from East End District Council in respect of their revised thoughts on the street trading policy, which hopefully you've all noted. Also, an update on the asset disposal. And finally, just to let you know that I have heard today that we were successful in our application to Parishes Together for the XSG leaflets and interpretation signage for the full amount that we've requested.
Deputy Town Clerk's report is there for your information. Like notes of meeting held on 28th of February. Don't know whether there's any other business after that. No, thank you. Neighbourhood Steering Plan Steering Group notes the meeting held on 13th of February and 13th of March. It's for noting. Colk to receive the notes of the meeting held on 26th of February. Noting. The notes of the meeting held on 12th of February for ETP, Express Transport Partnership. Town team to receive the notes of meetings held on 8th of February 2018. Steve?
Sorry.
Going too fast here.
Yes, sorry, Chair. I was going to ask a question on the Transport Partnership, if I may, please.
Right.
It's to do with the section with Stagecoach. I was going to ask our reps on the committee whether they could please ask at the next meeting that there is a specific problem on the parade in relationship to Stagecoach buses pulling in. Not with the buses. Sometimes you get three or four buses that pull in from the line and the crossing gets blocked. It is causing a rather significant problem of trying to cross the road. So I don't know what can be done. I did suggest at one time that maybe the bay could be extended, but I was told that because it's a loading bay, the shops, and I understand that, would not be happy with losing the loading bays. But if there could be some discussions with Stagecoach about the problem with buses. Thank
Tim?
You.
Yes, thank you, Steve, for that. Thank you, Chair. Yes, I will raise that at the next meeting, and in fact, we'll try and take it up the Stagecoach beforehand and see if they see whether they've got any ideas of how that might be addressed. There's a general problem with the 57 buses because they are being held up in all sorts of roadworks at the Exeter end. It's mucking up the timetables, so that's another issue. Can I just raise one other issue that when we were talking in our group meeting, Pauline raised about taxi operators. Our taxi rep had, you'll note item 3 on the taxi operators, that there were people operating taxis who were not licensed, and I intend to take that up through the PDDC because that's really worrying if drivers are from a safeguarding issue.
Yes, if a licensed taxi driver sees other people picking people up and saying they are a taxi, then the driver of the taxi is supposed to report this to East End District Council because they can take that very, very seriously.
Sure.
That is definitely not on, and they have very, very strict rules at East End licensing. and they are one of the best in the country and we've won lots of awards. So if the taxi driver knows that someone has done this, they need to be reported and also reported to the police.
Right, I'm working round. Steve?
Thank you, Chair. Just on that point, Chair, obviously there are quite a lot of members here that are members on the license authority, and I'm sure we will raise that. But I think it would be helpful if the town clerk or the deputy town clerk could write a letter to license and highlighting that it's been raised tonight.
Okay.
And it will then probably get on the agenda. Thank you.
And it's because most of them are doing it online, and when they order their taxi online, there is no licence stuff. That's why, and it's really caused a problem in London, Bristol. So it's a very safety issue, really.
Right. Pauline?
I know it has come up on social media, especially at sort of New Year and various holiday times, that people have been offering lifts. And some of them did put the actual prices, which some people turned around and said, are you registered, are you legal? And they actually took the prices down and said they would offer it for a donation. I did report it to Eastbourne, and I've got some of their names, but not all of them, unfortunately, they deleted it. But perhaps we should ask Eastbourne if they do another spot check, because we haven't had a spot check done for ages, and it's where they come in and some nights they do it with the police and they spot check them all and to make sure it's all in order. So perhaps they'd be willing to do another one of those, because last time they did catch some.
Thank you very much. Maddie?
Yes, Chairman. I really think that the media should inform the public that if you are going to get someone on social media to come and pick you up because he's a taxi driver and you're going to pay him, then you are putting your own safety at risk. This is why we have licensed taxi drivers. So all taxi drivers have to be a proper and correct person with no criminal records, and we know that the public are safe with them. So if they're going on social media and getting people to pick them up, then they're taking their safety in their own hands, and I don't think you can blame East Devon for that, but people need to be well aware of what they're doing on social media.
Yep. Fred?
Hey, John. I have to carry licence operators, pay a lot of money to have a licence and operate. And to make it in. And I think the Eastern District Council should look at this in rather a robust manner to actually protect the people that are in the livelihood from having something happen. So I think that's a good thing that we could force the District Council to do.
Brian?
Thank you, Chairman. It's a very quick and simple way to detect whether the car is licensed or not. If you're foolish enough to get someone off the internet, the way to check is to look at the back of the vehicle. If it has a blue plate with East Devon District Council on it, then it's a licensed vehicle. If it hasn't, it's not. And if you're running in an unlicensed vehicle, there is no insurance for that vehicle. It's automatically cancelled. But it should have a personal insurance for the driver and the car. I think the liability now is £81 million at the moment. So you're literally putting your life in your hands. I would deter anyone from doing it.
Thank you very much. Moving on, town team. Received the notes of the meeting held on 8th of February 2018.
Noted.
District Councillor's report. Do you have any? Bruce?
Thank you, Chair. Just to note that on the 14th of March, I attended, as your representative, the Arts and Culture Forum, and basically various topics were discussed, one of which was the Villages in Action programme, which I believe will be dealt with through Carla with her other arm that she is working on. And we also had a talk from the Jurassic Coast Trust, the East Devon's Museum programme, We discussed the Blackdown Hills, we had a talk from the EDC Countryside team, and we discussed the ways to improve the EDC website. So that was just some of the things that we talked about. And obviously, if anyone's interested, do please ask and I'll follow it up at any other point.
Thank you very much. Maddy?
Thank you, Chairman. Just to remind councillors, we've got training for planning Wednesday the 25th of April, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Thursday the 31st of May, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. This is for all councillors, town and parish councillors, clerks, planning officers, everyone. It's on SIL, MPPF, neighbourhood plans, relationships between different councillors. So this is good. This has been asked for by councillors at a brainstorming meeting that I chaired as member development over there. Tonight it came up on planning that we asked one of the licensing team to come over and give us some training on the street licensing training, because it is obviously slightly different to what we are used to. We don't know what we can object to exactly on what grounds. We know what we like and what we don't like. So I'm going to ask licensing to come over, and I would like to ask if there's any other training that anyone thinks that us as a council we could do with, and get someone from East Devon, as they're in the building as well, to come over and go through something with us. Then I'm happy to take it forward to East Devon. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Pauline?
Thank you, just for information really, but the diggers have started on the fun park today, and they're busy preparing the ground for the new fun park, and also for the picnic area as well.
Steve?
Oh, thank you, Chair. Yes, one or the other, could you do some computer training?
Yes.
It's on the list.
Thank you very much, Mike. I just really wanted to say about licensing, Chair. It's not about in-depth. I just wanted to show my appreciation to my colleagues on the licensing committee who raised the whole issue of the street trading new rules that were coming and the complications that it was going to cause. I should declare a vested interest because I've got a big event coming up on the Strand. But I think it was because of the coming together, if you like, of town councillors or district councillors on the town council that dialogue took place, and it was a real change of heart. And I just want to say thank you to my colleagues.
We did a good job, didn't we, Steve?
Thank you very much. County councillors, Richard, is it you or?
Yeah, I'll take tonight.
Right, thank you.
Thank you for that. Christine was originally going to do the report, but she's obviously not here tonight. So, firstly, thank you for your kind comments earlier, it's much appreciated. I'd also like to take this opportunity while I've got the floor to pass my condolences, our condolences, on to closest Slade's family, my Devon colleagues. Obviously, she died very young at 21, only a couple of weeks ago. I think it's important to recognise the contribution that someone so young made. She put into what she was doing. I'm sure it'll be a great loss to Mid Devon and to Devon as a whole. In terms of the report from County, there's not a great deal to discuss. You'll have all noticed the work that was covering on 376, so that'll be the first of many stages of what we do around the ward, cleaning the roads, cleaning the edges, getting the drains sorted. And that's about it from me.
Thank you very much, Richard.
Chairman, may I ask a question?
Certainly.
Richard, I saw on the council website Pauline for a machine that fixes potholes. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this machine?
Personally, myself.
It's a machine that is Pauline put on the internet and filmed this machine that actually fixes potholes.
Yeah.
It's very quick and very efficient.
I showed it to him afterwards.
Well, if you mind talking to Pauline, see to do the answer to your prayers. It's relatively inexpensive, so I hear.
I would suggest you get a great amount of problems that would be
well, it's just the thought. Thank you very much, Chairman.
Thank you. Item 7, grant applications. Terry, please.
Three grant applications.
Oh, just sorry. Ten,
Can I declare an interest? I didn't at the beginning, I'm sorry.
Right.
As being a fair trade member.
Right.
Fair trade. I'd rather for this council.
And John.
Thank you. Carry on, Chair.
Right. The first one on that we're looking at is fair trade, and it's a contribution towards morning schools conference. I can't see anything wrong with this. We support fair trade. We do our best to help, and they really have not got any money, virtually no money in the bank. So I think that, yeah, the council should carry on supporting them.
Do you want, would you like me just to fill in a little background on that? Or no?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
thank
fine.
You very much.
You know more than I do. Carry on.
All I was going to say was that, yes, the situation this year is normally we fund it, but this year there hasn't been enough money for various reasons, and we thought we ought to ask the council to support.
Well, you've got the money now. Not you personally.
Thank you.
Can we have a seconder, please? Steve, you seconding?
Yeah, can I just ask a question?
I'm looking for a seconder first.
Okay. Yeah, I'm quitting.
Right, thank you. Now you can speak.
No, the question is to Cherry. Could you just tell us what we've got on the budget, please?
We're in the new year.
Oh, right. Thank you.
So we've got a proposer and a seconder, £150 for fair trade. I spent an evening with fair trade just recently, and it was very, very interesting. We had a couple of people there who came from abroad and talked to us about the work that they were doing, and it was a very interesting evening. So, those in favour? Passed. Thank you very much.
The next one on the list is the South West Band. They come to us every year. They have a big band festival. I don't know how many bands they've got coming this year, but 25, is it? Right. They have this big festival, so obviously it brings in the families and the friends and everything else. And they're asking us once again for £550. It usually goes towards renting the pavilion. And if their chances have gone up, then there's Southwest Bands haven't put up their request. That's what we hear from last year as well.
So we've got a proposal, second?
Second.
Right, thank you, Pauline. Those in favour? Passed, thank you.
Ex-Sailing Club. They're asking us for contribution towards the cost of national championship events this year. And they're requesting £700. The total cost might be somewhere like £8,000 or something.
What is it? It's £8,700.
Seeing that we actually put money towards the National Ride Saving and all the other national events that we have down on the seafront, I can see no reason that they shouldn't have this money as well.
Proposed, seconded, please. Thank you. I shall be attending the International 14s, I think, which will be one of my last appearances this year.
Where are you going?
The Exeter Club. And I shall sail off into the wild blue yonder. Anyway, those in favour, thank you very much. That's carried. Item 8, to ratify that the Town Council takes on the role as licensing authority for pavement cafe licensing on behalf of the Town Council. We are required to ratify this proposal. Posted.
Well, may I ask a question, Mr. Chair?
Certainly.
I'm sure that this has been discussed at HR, but is our staff capable of taking on this work?
So Chetna's been doing a lot of work on this. It's been an aspiration that we would take this on for some time, but we didn't have the capacity, so Chetna's been running with it. There will be an initial
the initial amount of work will be more, just until we get all the templates set up and we're up and running. But after that, it should get into a bit of a rhythm. And bearing in mind that these renewals come through sort of during the course of the year, they don't all come in at once, and I think it's perfectly manageable. You'll see in her report that she says there's about 15 cafe licences that we would deal with during the year. I think the good thing for the town council is that it gives us back some ownership of the process, which has been lacking. And the enforcement would remain with the county council, so we'll just be processing the applications, but we won't be dealing with the enforcement issues that arise from it. So.
Richard, sorry, my went blank for a minute. I was watching all the right.
Thank you very much. I think also that the important point as well is it gives you a starting point to go back to East Devon and question why the town council can't manage and strong as well from a licensing point of view. So it might have been a small part of it, but it starts a process which I'm sure will be successful.
Brian?
Yeah, there are statutory things that one has to include in the licence. How much elbow room have we got to add things to the conditions, like plastic bottles and cans? Would it be possible for us to put such conditions in our order?
Not that I'm aware of, no. No, I mean, there's quite strict criteria that have to be applied from a licensing perspective.
That will come through down the county council. Basically, what we're doing is issuing the licences. They will be following up with any other resolutions with regards to enforcement issues. We won't be doing that. All we're basically doing is authorising those licences which have got terms and conditions set. If you have any concerns, if you come back to yourself or Richard, then we'll take it through the procedures at Glen County. Is that okay?
Yeah, well, as far as I can see, I mean, on planning, we're asked to comment on licences. No doubt we'll never be asked to vote on them. I think that's a big deal.
Alex?
I was just going to ask, are you absorbing any sort of costs in terms of time in your BAU, or is there any additional cost to us for taking this on?
So the cost to us is the time aspect, but we will be retaining the licence fees. So it'll be a cost neutral scenario for the town council because we'll get to keep the revenue that's associated with the licences, which is currently £200 for a new licence, and I think it's 80 or 85 for a renewal. So we will keep that revenue, and that will then offset our administration costs. Yeah.
So it's been proposed, seconded. Thank you. Those in favour? Carried. Thank you. Item 9, to ratify the flower tower contract being renewed to the existing contractor for a further 2 years. The report has been circulated.
Jeff? I'd like to propose that we keep the existing contractor. I think you all received the letter from our dear friend explaining exactly what we get from the contractors. They do a fantastic job. The flowers again last year and over this winter tremendous. So I'd like to propose that we continue with the existing contractor. And I thank Pat once again for the sterling work that she's done over the past years.
Seconder, please. Lynn? Thank you. All those in favour? Thank you. Pass. To review and resolve the risk management policy and risk assessment dated March 2018, which has been circulated.
Can I just explain that this has been updated to reflect our move back into the town hall? There were various references to 44 Roll Street in our previous risk assessment, so it's been updated, but those are the main changes. But it's something that we need to do regularly to comply with our internal controls and internal external audit requirements.
I think it's self-explanatory, it's just been updated with the latest situation.
So all those in favour? Yes, Steve, sorry.
If when this is hopefully approved tonight, Lisa, will this stand for a period of time, or is it reviewed every so many years?
So I think the statutory requirements, there has to be renewed every 4 years, but we've been doing it more frequently than that because we've been changing it as we've moved premises. So I mean, I think it's good practice to do it on an annual basis, really. You know, it reflects any changes that we need to incorporate then. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Proposal change. Lynn, thank you. Second. Pauline, those in favour? Thank you very much. Item 11, to consider a motion from Councillor Ross Massey.
Yes, thank you, everybody. East Devon Green Party recently conducted a survey of shoppers in the Magnolia Centre, and for quite a short time, the overwhelming response from people was that we did need to do something about the problem with plastic and particularly single-use plastics. And you know, this has become a hot topic anyway in the last few weeks. The government just announced it will initiate a plastic bottle deposit scheme by the end of the year, and I believe the East Devon District Council has a policy in place regarding leaseholders' use of plastics. Exeter City Council goes through a great deal of effort to recycle plastic and cardboard, and gets a good price for their well-sorted green product. We all know that plastic is made from oil, and the need to reduce wastage of this valuable resource is quite obvious, in my opinion. I'm asking this council to really put its weight behind all these other moves, and perhaps we can establish perhaps with a small working party what we can do in terms of that this council can do. So I see Councillor Steve Gabler has added an amendment. Do I read this out?
Has it been passed as well? Have you got the amendment?
All got.
I'll read the amendment out. In order to achieve the aims and objectives of this motion, it is agreed to set up a small working party to discuss how, as a council, we move forward and promote this motion proposed by Councillor Steve Guthard. We've got speakers who want to speak on this. Richard?
Christine.
Oh, Christine, sorry.
Richard.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. First of all, I'd like to say thanks to Bob for raising what I think is a really important issue. And I think it's something that as a whole council that we can probably unite behind and really get our heads together and think about how we can make a difference. I think people might already be aware of the Refill Devon campaign that's being championed by Devon County Council as the managing authority. And community champions have been sought to promote the Refill Devon scheme, which engages with local businesses with the aim of enabling people to refill refillable bottles free of charge within those premises. And what I really just wanted to make people aware of at this meeting is that I'm signed up as a community champion for this scheme. And I've been engaging with some of the local businesses already. I'm pleased to say we've got a number of businesses in the town that have really said, yes, they all want to be part of this. The key thing is that there is an app for everything, isn't there, these days? But there is a Refill Devon app. And the aim is that the community champion liaises with businesses, then forwards their details on to the member of staff at Devon County Council that's responsible for keeping the app up to date. And then people can simply look and pinpoint from wherever they are, where the nearest refill point happens to be. So it's just part and parcel of what I think is a bigger initiative, but I think it's something that's really important. And personally, I'd like to see maybe we take an approach a little bit like fair trade, and we do make a statement as a town to say this is something that we'd all like to stand behind and do some work on together to really make a difference in this field. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you very much. Richard, please.
Chair, thank you very much. We need to take advice from the clerk on this. We haven't amended in front of us, and I was going to propose an amendment of my own. So, which order do we take them in?
The order in which they're proposed. So, okay. Steve would come first. Yeah.
So, you need to take that amendment first.
Yeah.
So, okay. Can we take the amendment from Steve then? The amendment being, in order to achieve the aims and objectives of this motion, it is agreed to set up a small working party to discuss how, as a council, we move forward and promote this motion. Seconder, please. Thank you, Tim. Those in favour? Those against? Can I take that again, please? Against? Yeah, 10. And those four? Eight. So the others have it. The motion is lost on that. Right, Richard?
So can I pause my amendment now? Thank you very much. So my amendment is, Exmouth Town Council commits to a reduction in the consumption of single-use plastics in Exmouth and Devon. And this council will be recommended to support Devon County Cabinet's motion on a plastic-free coastline and East Devon District Council policy initiatives. Await guidance from the national government on statutory requirements for future consumption of single-use plastics. And recognise that non-throwaway plastic performs an important role in our society, and there will still be requirements for single-use plastic.
Thank you very much. A seconder, please. Bruce? Second.
Thank you, Chair. I'm happy to second this because I believe that Richard's motion speaks to the heart of the debate, because we are all aware that to create an effective way to recycle plastic, we need to have collaboration between companies, the public sector and NGOs, and we also need to have a strategy for on-the-go, what can be termed on-the-go litter, because we must recognise that we are eating and drinking more on the move, and inevitably this is leading to an increase in single-use packaging, drinks bottles and disposable coffee cups. And it is necessary that policymakers should respond. So I think that Richard's motion is putting us, heading us in this direction, and that's why I'm absolutely delighted to second it. Thank you.
Brian, thanks.
Yeah, I think we need to take this even further. You know, this is a national problem, and I think we somehow need to get this before government itself to get some legislation in. I can see the big players are going to resist this. I mean, you go down a supermarket or your local shop, I couldn't find a soft drinks bottle that wasn't in a plastic bottle. Now, you can get an enormous amount of resistance from the retailer saying it's going to cost them money. Yes, it's going to cost them money. It's something you're going to have to face up to. And the only way you can change this round would be by legislation. So I think we could even bring this before an RMP to bring it before Parliament.
Tim,
yeah. Yeah, I also wanted to propose an amendment in a minute, but if I can answer Richard Scott's amendment, which I oppose, actually. I mean, what I don't oppose in that amendment, if he left it at that, which is about Devon County Council and the fact of signing up to what Devon County Council are moving forward with. But when you start involving national players, I think that's a recipe for delay, it's a recipe for just leaving it as it is and not really joining in and making Exmouth plastic, single-use plastic reducing. Now, I do agree with what Bruce and Richard have said, that there are issues, big, wide issues, that have to be taken into account. But for goodness sake, let us, as a town, move forward on the basis of what Rob says. My amendment, for what it's worth, would be to add to his list.
We've got to take the first one.
I'm sorry.
First amendment.
Sorry.
Can we have a vote on the first amendment from Richard? Seconder, Bruce. Those in favour of the amendment. And those against. So the amendment is carried.
Abstain,
thank you. Now, Tim, you want to put an amendment?
Yes, please. Just to add to Rob's list, an issue that I've been proposing for some while is that East Devon District Council bring forward more recycling bins in Exmouth. And I feel that we can take a lot of single-use plastic out of the refuse stream by having more recycling bins for cans and plastic bottles. And I'd like to incorporate that in the list of actions.
Right, do we have a seconder for that? Steve? Those in favour of the other amendment, the second amendment? Those against? So that amendment is lost. Pauline, please.
Can I say that East Devon are doing more recycling bins and they're waiting for them to come in at the moment. Also, we're going to do it along the beach. There will be the 2-minute beach clean, which you will have a picker and a bag, which you can go around and do. And they'll be all along the seafront. And so that people can go down on the beach and pick up bits of litter, plastic and clean on the beach, bag it up, and it can be taken away with the beach. And so it's a new initiative. But that will be happening as soon as I get everybody in place. I'm working on it. All
right. Yeah. Alex.
Just on the point of Rich's amendment, and apologies if I'm doing this wrong, being new to it, but if we're saying we're waiting for national policy and all those things, does that mean that therefore we can't say that we're promoting ourselves as a major plastic reducer and the rest of Rob's amendment? Because if we're not actually going to take any action but wait, then how do we carry this motion?
Jeff?
Basically, we got Exmouth Town agreeing with Devon County Council, in my opinion, is the way to move forward and hopefully stop any duplication of work. Yes, Exmouth Town Council must be seen by the general public and as a council who is listening and working with those who have the power to make a difference. So the motion, which has been agreed, I go along with. And that answers your question,
haven't you?
Sandy, please.
Yes, I agree that Exmouth can say that we wish to be plastic free, but we can only be plastic free up to a point, because you've got nurses, you've got environmental health people, you've got also forensic people that all use types of plastic. So you can never say it can be completely free, because obviously people need self-protection on these things and they are going to use that. We can say that, we cannot enforce it by law. We can say what we like, but we can't enforce it by law. So we have to put pressure on our MPs, on the county council, district council. They are both working towards it. We need to keep the pressure up. But it has to come through government, because we've got no right to tell Tesco's that they can't use plastic in their store. But we can request that they don't, we can say that we don't like it, and we can go for government to put the legislation forwards to stop these people using so many plastic. I mean, I fail to see why 4 apples have to be put in a plastic box and covered with plastic. You know, that is ridiculous. We can say that, but we can't enforce it at the moment. All we can do is keep the pressure up.
Thank you, Maddy. Brian, please.
Thank you, Chairman. The problem, as I see it, is there is no value in this plastic. And if the plastic had a value, it would be worth recycling in a better way. And all of the dark coloured plastic that's recycled now in East End or anywhere else is virtually worthless and just gets burnt. The value is in the clear and the light coloured plastics, which can be recycled to make, for example, in Wales, there's a company making houses out of this. And for every 3,000 houses they make, they use 40,000 tonnes of plastic. So that's a way of using it. Also, another way, which will work, it's been proven to work, is you can, as Rob said, it's made of oil. You can reverse the process. You can get clean plastic. You can turn it back into kerosene, you can refine it to oil and diesel. The only problem is the world market at the moment. I think oil is like $60 to $70 a barrel. And to do the recycling plastic to turn it back into fuel is $100 a barrel. So there is an aim to go for it, that if that was a viable situation, which can be arranged by the government, can't be arranged by us. But I think what Roger Manning says, we ought to pressurise the government to do this sort of thing. And the more people pressurise the government, the more they'll take notice. And we're a free trade town, but we haven't legislated for that. We've just encouraged it, and it's very successful. So we can encourage to be not a single-use plastic. East End's already done that. The chairman of Crime said in this very room, anything that goes on in Exeter Fair that requires permission from street scene and from licensing, single-use plastic will not be allowed. So we're going down the road, just starting slowly. What the call when we're down? That's usually me. Congratulations, Robert. Thank you,
Brian. Thank you, Brian.
More than
Richard,
we just tell
it. Chair, we've got an amendment. It's been voted on. Can we move on?
No, because it wasn't.
Right. Thank you.
I was going to put a spanner in this because many years ago, the reason why we have so many plastic bottles is some children actually died because when they had glass bottles, a little girl of 10 years old was running across the road for the ice cream van and fell on it and she split her artery in her leg. So we just need to have an education that to use it wisely and to recycle it. That's the main thing. But I just wanted to say there's safety issues here. Why we have some lemonade, you know, plastic bottles and cokes.
Thank you very much. Moving on, item 12 and item 13. To ratify the following appointments to working parties, external bodies, following the resignation of Councillor Pat Brown.
Did you take a vote?
Yeah.
Sorry?
There was somebody else waiting to speak. There was Richard and
Darrell.
No.
You're not going to say anything. We're moving on. Chairman, we need a vote.
No, stop you, Chairman. We haven't had a vote on. We've had lots of amendments. We voted on, but
we passed the amendment.
No, so we can pass the motion. The original motion voted on.
Yes, we voted on that. Then we voted on the amendment, which was lost. Then we voted on Richards, which was passed.
We voted on the original motion from Rob first. That was the first thing we did.
Surely
the amendment.
Surely the amendment, because the motion with Richard's amendment is an entirely different motion to what we started off with.
Yes, that was
made on the proposal
that,
against it.
I think you've forgotten, because that was the first one we voted on.
Steve Gazzard's amendment.
Right, if you wish, then we will take Richard's amendment. Those in favour of the amendment. So what is it you're after?
Rob's
proposal. The overall motion.
Right. Taking Rob's proposal then, and the amendment. The amendment first. Those in favour of the amendment, if you could remember what it was. In order.
We've already voted.
We just want to know what we voted for.
Can I help you?
Chair, you've got a substantive motion, that's what you need to vote on. So vote on the substantive motion and we can
amend it.
Thank you.
That is the motion that Rob has put up. Those in favour of Rob's motion then?
Yes.
With the amendment.
With the amendment.
With the amendment. Those in favour of Rob's motion with the amendment? One, two, three.
May I, Chair?
Six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
John?
11, 12, 13, 14. Right? Tim, you wanted to say something?
All I wanted to say was that the motion that was down originally as amended, I would like to hear what that amended motion consists of now.
Just one, please.
Richard?
Sorry, sir.
Would you like me to help, Chair?
Yes.
Would you please?
So, a motion, substantive amended motion you are voting on is Exmouth Town Council commits to reduction in the consumption of single-use plastics in Exmouth and Devon. And Council will be recommending to support Devon County Cabinet's motion on a plastics-free coastline and East Devon District Council policy initiatives. Await guidance from the National Government on statutory requirements for future consumption of single-use plastics. Recognise that non-throwaway plastic forms an important role in our society and there will still be requirements for single-use plastic.
And what happens to the existing parts of the motion, Richard?
That is the substantive motion which you all agreed to. So those agreed, and it was passed. Passing on, please. Item 13, we need to ratify the following appointments to working parties and external bodies following the resignation of Councillor Pat Graham. Need a proposal. HR Group, Councillor Steve Gazzard.
Do them on block then.
Colt, Town Ward Representative, Councillor Armasting. Neighbourhood Plan Steering Group, Councillor Armasting. Estuary Management Partnership, Councillor Bill Nash. Reserve Councillor Brenda Taylor. Exbank Regeneration Cross Party, Councillor Brian Toy. Town Hall Working Party, Councillor Tim Dunford. Can I have a proposal, please? Thank you, Brian. Second? Thank you, Mark. Those in favour? Those against? Those abstaining? It's carried. Thank you. That brings us to the end of the full council meeting, councillors. We now go into part two.